Hi guys, welcome back to Mindset Managed. Today I wanted to talk about the fact that we are now coming to the end of June, which means that we've done the first half of the year. And that's completely mad to me. It still feels like a moment ago when we were setting our New Year's goals, our New Year's intentions, and thinking about how we can make 2020 the best year ever. And then obviously we've all seen the memes, we've all lived through this in that we know that 2020 kind of laughed at our plans this year. It's a bit funny because, you know, what else can you do other than laugh? Otherwise you cry. But for a lot of us, it's kind of more serious. We've either lost loved ones, which is the most serious thing, or we've been, you know, emotionally exhausted, mentally and physically drained. We've had our plans completely derailed. Maybe people were planning to have a baby this year and it's kind of become inappropriate to do so. Maybe you wanted to move out and you couldn't do that. Maybe you wanted to buy a house and you couldn't do that. Maybe you wanted to travel and you couldn't do that. Anything like that. And, you know, some people's relationship dynamics have completely changed, either for better or for worse. I know for me and my partner have decided we need to move out. We were hoping to buy, to save up and buy, but because of me, my fluctuations in employment, my money fluctuations, it's just not been possible to save all this time. And so it's just not plausible for us to stay living with my mum for another, 3 years minimum in order to be able to save as much as we would need for a deposit for a house. And so instead we've decided we need to rent and we're just gonna get out of here and, you know, start our own life, find our own place, make our own way basically in the world. And that's something we can start doing now because lockdown in the UK has started to ease up. But if we decided to do this earlier, we wouldn't have been able to. And I really do think that lockdown pushed us forwards. At least it pushed me. My partner's kind of been ready to go for a while, but it pushed me to think that my relationship with my mum and my sister will be a lot better once I move out. It will help my relationship with my partner when I move out as well, because it'll just be us two rather than, you know, sharing space and time with other people. There's no sugarcoating it. You know, people affect our energy. When they're in our environment, they affect how we live our lives. Even if we are the most focused people ever, the most understanding people ever, the most compassionate people ever, it's hard to be around different people who have different goals, different ways of life, different dreams even, different schedules, all of that. It can make it hard to live in harmony. And so if it's not working, then the best thing you can do is to kind of step away and create your own space if you're able to do so. And if you're not able to do so, then kind of creating that space for yourself would be that, you know, going out of the house yourself more, or, you know, saying to them, setting boundaries and saying, my bedroom is my sacred space, you need to leave me alone when I'm in my bedroom so I can be by myself, things like that. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the pandemic, the different movements and awful things that have happened over the last 6 months, more like, you know, 4 months, have been really hard. And it's taken a lot for us to stand up and carry on and pretend that life's as normal as we can, really. And I have to say, a lot of us have really stepped up. So if you're somebody who has really stepped up and made life work for you in this crazy new dynamic, then bravo, because it wasn't easy. And if you have even got out of bed every day, got showered, put on some normal people clothes, then well done, you've succeeded, because it was so easy for a lot of us to just not do that, to be like, oh, I might as well stay in bed because I've got nowhere to go. I might as well not shower because I've got nowhere to go. But any of us who care about mental and physical health, we know that you can't do that. It's so damaging for you to do that all day, every day. One day, maybe on Sunday you sleep in a bit longer. I understand that. You need to, you know, regain your energy, revitalize. But if you're somebody who is doing that all the time, it's just not good for you. I would never think that that was okay. And I hope that you're not somebody who's doing that. So like I say, if you're somebody who's getting up every day, you're doing something, even if it's just one thing with your day, then bravo. If you've learned a new skill, well done. If you've met up with people, social distancing, of course, later on in the lockdown, of course, and kept up your promises of, you know, maintaining those relationships, but also keeping safe, also not being reckless, then bravo. If you've done things like, you know, FaceTime and Zoom, then great. People have been doing like pub quizzes, like we've been doing quizzes with my family, the extended family, all on FaceTime and Zoom and everything, and that's been really fun. So people have found ways to connect. They've found ways to still do their jobs, for example. They've found ways to be happy even in the worst of circumstances. And so I'm not sure where I saw it. I think I saw what Martin Luther King said it. It's like you really know the true nature of a man by what he does when he's uncomfortable, what he does in times of crisis, right? So if you're somebody who makes great decisions when life's easy, then of course, that's not really saying much about you necessarily. But if you're making good decisions, doing good things, working out ways to make things work in adversity, then well done, bravo. That's really, really great. And that means that you should pat yourself on the back. If you're somebody who's literally gone through something really awful personally and you're still getting up every day, you're still doing something, then again, please pat yourself on the back because it's hard. Right now, with so many reasons, so many reasonable excuses to not get out of bed and not do anything with your time. So if you're getting out of bed and you're working from home, if you're getting out of bed and you're writing like I am, if you're getting out of bed, you're doing work training or you're learning a new skill or you're messaging your friends, you're trying to call your friends and meet up with them, speak to them, socialize with them. If you're trying to read more, you're trying to watch all the classic films, anything like that. If you're doing chores, if you're organizing your space, if you're redecorating anything, if you've used your time, then well done. And if you haven't, there's still time left. So the thing that I keep thinking about when it comes to thinking about the first half of the year and how it's gone and how the second half of the year could go, the word that comes to mind is hope. Because a lot of us lost hope when our plans were changed, when we got told basically, no, you have to stay at home and you can't do what you was going to do. Loads of us panicked. Loads of us got scared. Loads of us, I don't know, gave up. And that's completely understandable, like I say. It's hard because when you do come to a new year, you hope that it will be good. You hope that you'll do this, you'll do that. And you might even plan and intend to do those things, which of course is really good. That's really productive. But necessarily, like at the end of the day, what we're doing is hoping. We're hoping for the best of ourselves and the best of our circumstances and the best of the world and how we can make a year as best as we can. There's no sugarcoating. There's in this life, there's so many things that are out of our control. And sometimes people would say that more things are out of our control than are in our control. We can control our thoughts. We can, like, you know, to an extent, we can control our actions, like, again, to an extent. But everything else is kind of circumstantial. We can't control the actions of others. We can't control if, you know, we're going to walk out the house and, you know, God forbid we get hit by a car. We don't control that. And so when it comes to setting goals and trying to plan our lives out, it sometimes feels like, well, what's the point? Because at the end of the day, like I say, we can't control everything. We can decide that we're going to set a budget, we're going to save up this money, we're going to try buy a house, but then a pandemic happens and you can't buy the house. We're going to save up our money, we're going to budget, we're going to go on a 3-month travels. Oh, there's a pandemic, we can't go. So this for me has kind of shown that even with the best of intentions, even with the best planning, the best organization, even being sure of what you want and what you're going to do and, you know, taking steps towards it, sometimes, I won't put it nicely, sometimes shit happens and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm not saying that negatively, although it totally sounds negative. I'm trying to say that this for me has kind of said to me that I need to let go of control a lot more. I've always said this because that's what anxiety is. It's somebody who's trying to be too much in control. And of course, we can't be that much in control of our lives. And so that's always something I've known about myself. But even more so, like, I'm not saying that we shouldn't make plans. I'm not saying we shouldn't make goals. I'm not saying we shouldn't save and, you know, try and make our lives work the way we want to. Of course, that's what intentional living is. And I will always advocate for intentional living. But there also needs to be massive room in our lives and in our plans for, I don't know, discrepancy and adversity and adaptation. Because if you can't adapt when you need to, then that's when you truly struggle in life. Resilience means being knocked down when adversity comes, feeling a bit crap about yourself, feeling crap about the circumstances, but getting up, dusting yourself off and finding a new way of doing what you need to do. And that's what's most important. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't have your goals, you shouldn't have your plans, but I think you should have them and also be not so tightly wound and so sure and so in control that you, when those plans go to the dust, that we don't panic and decide that we feel hopeless, that there's nothing we can do. Instead, finding another way of doing what we wanted to do anyway, or, you know, think of a new plan of action altogether. Whatever we need to do to move forwards, to be happy, to still live our lives, but even when the very worst of circumstances do happen. It really puts life into perspective that what really matters, what really truly matters, isn't how many countries you've been to. It isn't how many like millions of dollars or pounds or whatever are in your bank account. It isn't how many houses you own. It isn't how great your job is, like, you know, in terms of prestige. It's not about how many cars you own, like the flashiest car, the flashiest clothes. None of those things matter at all. And at the end of the day, also, it doesn't actually matter how many books you read, how many books you write. It doesn't matter if you can do the most complex of yoga poses. None of that actually matters. And when the very worst of worst happens in life, like kind of what's happening now, we realize that those things don't matter. The only thing really truly at the end of the day, when everything is pulled back, the only thing that matters is our health and our wellness, of course, and our happiness, of course, and the happiness and the wellness of the people that are closest to us. So having those connections with those people, and, you know, those people being safe, that's all that matters. And I'm very lucky, and I'm so grateful, and I've had to say this to myself again and again, of how much gratitude I have for the universe, for life, for God, whatever you want to call it, for keeping the people close to me safe and for keeping me safe. I could have, you know, suffered losses during this, and I know that some of you listening might have done, and I'm really sorry if you have, and I'm so sad for you, and I'm sending my love your way, because I know this is so hard. It's like literally, like I said, the worst thing that could happen. So if you are somebody who that's happened to, then I'll take a moment now to just pause to give that space for you, hold that space for you. And for those people who haven't suffered any losses, like literal losses of their family or, you know, losses in their life, then take a moment to be really grateful, to literally say out loud, thank you, or write down, thank you, because it was so easy for any of us, any number of us, to be affected directly by this virus, to have lost people due to the virus, to have lost our jobs, to be homeless, anything right now. And so if you're not, and I again hope that you're not, then you are so lucky, and you should be thankful, you should be grateful, and you should hold that in your heart really truly, and shed tears due to that happiness that you feel, because that is what's most important. And like I say, the worst of circumstances, the worst of adversity, really puts life into perspective and helps you realize what counts, what matters. Because we can all get so lost in things like social media or speaking to our friends and comparing our lives to theirs. Oh, my friends are going traveling. I'm not. I'm such a loser. My friends have bought houses, whereas I'm just going to rent. I'm such a loser. We can feel so, like, there's literal things that I've thought about myself, by the way. And we can feel so rubbish and beat ourselves up and have no compassion for ourselves. But at the end of the day, are you healthy and happy? Yes. Then that's all that matters. Are the people closest to you healthy and happy? Yes. Then that's all that matters. And when we look at it that way, we can be filled with joy, we can be filled with gratitude, and we can feel good. And we can take that good feeling and put it into our lives, put it, that energy out into the world, and say, okay, I feel good, I know what matters, I'm grounded in the fact that, you know, I'm safe, I'm healthy, I'm happy, that's all I need, I have what I need. And then to go forwards and get those extra wins in life. Because anything that's not those things is just extra. And extra is great. Extra is something you can reach for. But it's also something that you don't actually need to live. So if you're healthy, happy, safe, then anything else that you go for is extra. And you don't need to feel bad about not having those extras. You don't need to compare other people's extras. Because as long as you're healthy and happy and safe, that's all that you need. As long as your family and friends are healthy, happy and safe, then that's all that you need. So when it comes to the second half of the year and what we should do, should we start setting plans again? Should we start setting goals again? Should we try and do the ones we was already going to do? Sometimes those decisions are going to be made for us by our governments. The travel hasn't exactly opened up yet. Some jobs and places haven't opened up yet. So those things are obviously affecting our decision making. But, you know, should we, from everything I've said, should we bother doing that? And I think the answer is yes. but again, with a pinch of salt, with the awareness that it might not go to plan and that's okay. It might not work and that's okay. And it makes me think of the last of the four agreements, that all we can do right now is do our best. Whatever our best looks like day to day, month to month, just do our best. For the next 6 months of the year, I want you to do your best. To do your best when you're going back to work and you're feeling anxious and you've got all these new fears that you never had before. To do your best when you're going out and meeting people again. To do your best when you're, you know, trying not to pass on a virus to other people. To do your best when you finally see your grandma again. Maybe you haven't been seeing your grandparents because you're trying to protect them. To do your best and just love them, but from a safe distance. To do your best when you're trying to set plans for next year. To do your best when you're trying to get back out and working out again. To do your best when you're trying to be creative. To do your best this Christmas. Maybe you don't have as much money as you usually would. And that's okay. Presents aren't meant to be expensive. You don't need to shower your loved ones with gifts. Sometimes the handmade ones are the best ones because they actually show time and effort and care. And that's beautiful. That's something that we should take advantage of more often. I know that me and my partner, like I say, we're moving out, so we're going to have a lot less money. We're going to be doing that kind of thing, and anyone who doesn't appreciate it obviously isn't somebody who loves us unconditionally. There obviously are conditions to our love, so that's fine. Like, you don't get it, that's fine. You're obviously not someone who's for me, but I will try and give you a present and send you love anyway, in the way that I can, and that's all that we can do. So when you're trying to set new goals for the rest of the year, do your best. When you're trying to just be normal again, do your best. So for me, I've got three really scary things coming up in the next half of the year. And that is, like I say, moving out and going at it on my own, renting with my partner and my dog. That's going to be scary. That's going to be new. It's going to be a complete change. It's going to come with so much growth. It's going to come with growing pains. I know that for sure. But it's going to be so worthwhile. And then the second thing is, come September, it'll be the new school year. So I'll be back to working in my school. It's going to be scary. It's going to basically be like I've started my new job all over again because I've not actually had a chance to be at my job properly. So that feels really scary for me. And obviously September is like the worst month because of people being back to school, never mind after a pandemic. So it's going to be completely crazy. I know that. And so I'm scared. I am worried because I'm going to be literally thrown into the deep end more so than I would have been if I'd started at when I was supposed to start. And then the other thing is, October, I'll be most likely signing up for my second year of Open University. So I'll be studying again. And that's, again, something that's nerve-wracking. I'm still not 100% sure about everything. A lot of my time is going to be dedicated to it again. I'm not going to have the free time to be creative like I have been having. And so I'm scared about the loss of money. I'm scared about the loss of time. I'm scared about the demand and the responsibilities that are coming up in the couple of months. So those things, all I literally can do, all that you literally can do, is do your best. And if your best still results in, you know, failure or shortcomings or mistakes, then don't see those things as the end of the world. Don't see those things as the worst that can happen. Because if anything, this year has proved that the worst that can happen is pretty, really bad. So those failures, those mess ups aren't that bad. They're not bad compared to losing a loved one. They're not bad compared to the discrimination and racial injustice that we face every day as people of color. It's not this as bad as, you know, transphobia, Islamophobia, homophobia, all of these horrible things that people are facing every single day. One mess up, one failure, one embarrassing moment does not end in defeat. It doesn't mean that you're a loser. It doesn't mean that you should give up. It just means that you're human. And especially right now, give yourself that grace, give yourself that compassion, allow yourself the space to mess up, to not be perfect, because there's no way that you can be. We're all basically took a pause in our life and now we're pressing play again. And that's scary. It's allowed to be something that we're afraid of and something that we mess up at. And if anybody needs to give you permission, if you feel like you need permission, then let me be that person to give you permission to be imperfect right now, to give you permission to do your best, even if your best doesn't look that great, you know, because moment to moment, our best will look different, and that's okay. So I wish you all the best of luck. I'm sending you the love and the grace and the light that you need right now. I'm giving you permission to take care of yourself, to be compassionate with yourself, to be understanding that adversity doesn't last forever. It teaches us lessons, it puts things into perspective, and that what you need to carry forward with you in the next 6 months and forever in your life is the ability to adapt and be resilient. Because if you can adapt and you can be resilient, then you will be fine in life. It means that you'll get back up after any failures. It means that even if there's a global pandemic, you'll still find a way of being happy, of being healthy, of living a life that's worthwhile, you know? And permission for you to be imperfect, the permission for you to make mistakes and get back up and live your life and smile and be happy anyway, because that's what it is to be human. That's what it is to be happy. And that's what it is to have a good life, no matter what the circumstances are. So I love you all. Thank you for listening. Take care, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye.